Good morning and Happy New Year, as they say. We have 2021 already. Wow. Such a good thing. This morning I want to consider this passage again. I'm going to read it again because I want to place emphasis in a little bit different way than we normally do. And so they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, and this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father, they said to him. We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me, and which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God, and for this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. And so as we look at this particular passage and we understand where it's coming from and the situation that Jesus is in at the time that it's being said and all the good things that go that way, I'm wanting us to take this in a little bit different way, and I want you to see what I see. If you go back and you look at the time of the Romans, they have all the different sects that are going on, and all of them want the Romans driven out. They want them out for different reasons, but they all want them out. And of course, the zealots are the ones who want to do it by force. Let's rise up and push them out. All we need is our leader to come, the Messiah to be here to lead us. And if he leads us, we will drive these people out, because who can stand against God? No one. And who is he going to stand for? Israel. Us. And let me emphasize us. And the us isn't really us. They're a divided nation as far as what they believe. They're a divided nation about how God will be and act and do things. And so if I look at the United States of America today, do I not see the same thing? That we all declare Jesus Christ, and yet we declare him in a different way, and it's my emphasis and not your emphasis, and la 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 la. Okay, and so this morning is about personal emphasis, and I want you to see something, that what I'm really trying to say. That decision of what is so and isn't so rests in the hands of every individual about who I will side with, if you want to say it that way. And have we listened to God? Because we've talked about emphasis depending on how you emphasize one word over another in a sentence, or whether you emphasize one verse over another, or whether we do a whole lot of things. We can change the meaning of what God said. And therefore, my personal emphasis and my personal belief that I am what I should be comes from good decision making about what God said. Now, when we were talking about truth a few weeks ago, I made the point, if you don't clear your own attitudes out of the way, if you don't clear your own knowledge, your heroes of faith, and the things that we have that are people who have taught you, and those, and read again what the scriptures say, you don't get what the scriptures say, you get what you believe, and you just reinforce what you already believe. And if you did it right the first time, okay. But what if you didn't? What if you didn't? And so personal emphasis becomes really important okay, in the fact that we saw the fact that the apostles put emphasis on the one loaf they had in the boat when Jesus makes the statement, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees." And they're thinking he's talking about bread. No, he wasn't talking about bread. Okay, we saw in James 1:27 that pure religion and undefiled before the Lord is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world, and that is not a congregational action, that is an individual action. Either you will do that or you will not do that. It's personal. It has to be personal. And so, not only do we take what it was said, we understand that the visiting the fatherless and the widows includes the attitude that is supposed to be there that is behind the deed. Okay, and so they include the commands for the deeds, and we include all that is implied about the attitudes and the deed when we do the things that God tells us to do. And that's what we're trying to be like. We are following Jesus in everything. And so once we receive the spiritual message, how do we emphasize then what God intended? And so I ask the question, are we hearing God's voice? And I'm asking that in a very, very real way. Are you hearing God's voice? Or are we hearing what goes along with my lifestyle? By placing spiritual emphasis is difficult in a world that confuses wording for gain. Now, I think y'all know what I mean by that. We lawyer everything now. We don't take any statement as truth. And, oh yeah, that's the truth. We don't make that statement. We certainly don't make that as a country. We don't make that in any group that I'm aware of. There is this viewpoint and there is that viewpoint. And now we need to come to the conclusion of which viewpoint applies better. And that it is instead of there being a truth or the truth, we have a truth that we accepted as being more plausible than the other truths we recognize. And that statement just makes me rankle. Because not so with God. God had a point. And so I want to make a simple application to this, and I'm going to use this particular passage, Luke 9:57-62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds have air of the air have nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury the dead, their own dead, and as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." And so, we understand what that means. In the days when plowing was done this way, and it really isn't any different if you're driving a tractor, or whether you're holding the plow behind him, if you start looking around while you're doing it, you don't get straight rows. And I've heard that they now have GPS on them and that you could have straight even if you're not paying attention. That doesn't count. All right, so what we have here is a point that's being made by Jesus that I think that we need to see. And as we come and we begin to think, all right, so what does it mean that when I put my hand to the plow, that if I look back, I'm not worthy anymore? And so I'm starting there at the end, and I want to just take it this way, that if we compare the physical example to the spiritual meaning, we find that a man cannot plow a straight furrow if he's not looking ahead, meaning the spiritual man cannot remain as he ought if he's looking back at the physical world. Not just the world, its contents and his or her desires are part of all of that. And if I'm looking back about what was and what I wanted, so that once you accept the spiritual truth of integrity toward God, then all infringements by the world were to be put away. Now, I'm just hesitating for a moment. Do you agree with that? That if I understand what God says about something and it's a truth of which I need to make a change, that all the physical world aspects need to be pushed away from the truth of what God just said. Do you agree? Now, I may say that mentally, but I don't necessarily... That's not so easy to do. Let's just put it that way. I need to have compassion, and I don't have any. How do I go about that? And I recognize it's something we work toward, and I get that. But you understand as well what I'm saying. That the truth is, I need to be compassionate as God was compassionate. And if I'm not, then I need to do something about that. And there's going to take some sort of effort to do it. Yeah, I mean, we would think that. All right. And so, if we look back at our failures, our sins, and condemn who we were, just saying it that way, and I don't forgive myself, do you see, I failed the spiritual kingdom because that's a form of looking back. I'm looking back where I was. And I did that for a while. Long while. Why? Because I knew who I was. And who I was is not who I want to be, but I recognize who I was, and I'm looking for elements. Does he still remain? And yeah, I was finding some of that. And you understand what I'm saying. It wasn't until someone told me that if God forgives you of your sin, you are an ingrate if you won't accept his forgiveness. You're ungrateful. I said, wait. Never did I mean to be that. And yet, I was, because I dwell or have dwelled on the things behind. All right, so we fail the spiritual kingdom because God says forgiveness is true. And what I find is, you see, that in my life, maybe forgiveness hasn't always been true by the people around me. They say they forgive me, but they didn't. They still watch me, you know, because I'm guilty or was guilty. And my forgiveness wasn't true forgiveness. We look back and desire what we lost. There's some things that I used to do that I enjoyed. And now I don't do those anymore. And maybe that's where it is. And you fail spiritually if you're looking back. And if we lose our reason why we made the changes, we've gone back. And so on it goes. You know, there's a lot of ways to do this, is to look back when we should be looking forward. And so when we go and we look at the first person that comes to Jesus in our scripture reading in Luke and says, I will follow you, and that Jesus answers that the animals have dens and nest, but I don't. And what we see in this man is he hasn't counted the cost of what it takes to follow Jesus. Not really. I want to be like you, but am I willing to give up even my home? And you see, because if you follow me, you will not have a home here. And if your home remains here, you have no home in heaven. For the qualification to make in heaven your home is to deny the world. A very real thing. So then Jesus asked another one, well, come and follow me. Come follow me. And he says, let me go and bury my father. And an earthly father is part of the world, and his burial is part of the world. And if that's what's on your mind, taking care of the duties that way, I'm sorry, but you're not looking ahead. This is a hard one for me. I can't honor my own father and mother to be a spiritual man Is that what's being said? And I don't think that that's what's being said. I think that when he says, follow me, he means now. Doesn't mean after you get through with what you've got to do. I think he means now. And so when I take that, you see, even my Father in the world is not more important than my God who is ahead of me. And so the issue is that we put worldly things ahead of the worship of God. And so I want you to hear this, and yet I want you to hear it in the manner in which I'm saying there's not any of these I'm picking on. It is a matter of looking at the kind of things that capture us. And then asking yourself, is that more important than God, or is that less important than God? And so, if you can't find your way to worship, and I'm asking this as a serious question, regardless of what the reason may be, do we have God as first in our life? If I can't even do that. Is worship of God important? And you see, does my job become more important than my worship? Does my spouse become more important than my worship? Because sometimes we're influenced by our spouses, that we have something else to do that is important and very important, and maybe we should go do that instead of this, and we're going to do what we do instead of that, and we let the spouse influence us. I know of someone that is close to me that I know his children didn't particularly care for coming to worship and Bible studies, and so because the children complained, they stopped coming. Matthew 10:32, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Passage that we know and know well and understand what it means, that this very thing of what the world has in it and all the things that matter the most to me, truly, the things that matter to me are to be given up for the kingdom of God. And I said yes to that. I said yes, I will do that. But I'm not sure that we understand it the way God meant it to be, you see, because we have our excuses that we accept on why I can't do that, why I don't come to worship, or why I don't do the thing that I should be doing, or I don't completely put away a sin that needs to be put away, why I do all those things. I have a reason why I don't do that, and my reason is an excuse before God of which God may or may not accept. The passage states that we love less our spouses and our children and our parents. And then I ask you, do we really think that way? Have we really gotten to the place where I think that way? The next one says, let me go say goodbye. Let me go say goodbye. I did this because I am reminded of every military man who leaves his family for the sake of doing what the country needs is torn apart at that time. I have to leave what I love to do what I must do. And there is a sense in that in which I want to call us to it, to declare it. You see, is that there are some things that are more important than being at home and enjoying the love of my family. Excuse me. I want to be there, and I want to share, and I want to have all that good stuff. But there's a time and a place where I have something to do that is more important than being there. And I want to say that in the spiritual realm, it says there's a lot of things like that. And yet, I can't wait to get home, right? I can't wait to get home. And so, once again, I want you to think of the division that was in the Roman Empire and how they wanted their Messiah to come and do it. Now, all right, so this says that the Sadducees favored cooperation with the Romans because that's practical. They're here and they could wipe us out if they want to. So we don't need to make them mad. We need to do what needs to be done to make sure that they don't wipe us out. We need to ensure survival, but we want them gone. But we don't see a way of doing that, and we certainly don't see it in a military way. And so they have that. The Pharisees have a nonviolent goal of a free Judea, that God will come and the Messiah is going to do something, say something that will drive them out and cause them to go. And so it's kind of like the Exodus. Plague number 10, firstborn of everything dies. And do you know what Pharaoh did? They called him after midnight and said, take your people, get out of our land. I will give you all of what you have and take it and go. Just leave this place. And the people rose up and gave them gold as well. Please, as fast as you can get out of here, lest you kill us all. Because your God is that kind of a God. That's what they were looking for. I want a God that has a Messiah that's going to drive those Romans out and is going to take us and make us free, you see. The Essenes, okay, wanted the oppression to go away. That we just want to continue in our harmony that we have determined for ourselves. And in a commune-like way. And so their Messiah was that way. And of course the Zealots, who said the Messiah is going to be a military leader who is going to lead us to success. And the Romans are going to be gone. So as I'm looking at all that, the Messiah doesn't take the form they want him to take. And so they reject him and then they kill him. You can't be the Messiah. Because what our dream, what national Israel's dream of success is, you're not spouting what we want. And so, you gotta go. And it's funny. With all the scriptures that they know this one as well. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Does that sound like somebody else has to be defeated before you can be and have relationship with God? See, it doesn't. Does it mean that this is about a national thing? No, this is not a national thing. And you see, they don't understand Jesus who would heal Samaritans and that would heal a Roman centurion's family. The things that are going on that way, what is this? Why would you do that? It's confusing. We're Israel. We need to be the ones you're paying attention to because their thinking is all about my thinking. And so, I'm asking you the question, do you think this happens today? That we get into our own vein of thinking of what God should be, how it should be, and what God would look like if He's truly God. And I'm not talking about putting away evil right now. I'm talking about your hopes and dreams of what it's about. Success. Is success about owning more? Having lots of friends? What is success in spiritual terms? And do you understand that we come in a very real way asking God to make my life better according to my emphasis? You understand it when I talk about the fact that someone might emphasize love over a command. And opposing them is one that would emphasize command over love. And we believe in the same God. And God said both love and fulfill my commands. So how did we come to be at odds? And I tell you, it is by how you emphasize. So when we start looking at attitudes, we see that those that excuse themselves for poor behavior, though God tells us that love never acts unbecomingly. So I have a command that I want to enforce, and I'm going to go talk to somebody about that, and I shell down the corn about the command, but I act unbecomingly. You ignored what God said. And the same way, those that would allow righteous indignation to overrule the manner of God declared that what He declared, we must maintain. That God, my God, and I've heard this more times than you can know, my God isn't that way. My God doesn't force you to do things. No. He said, if you hear my voice, keep my commandments, and you choose to do it. He doesn't make you. And so all the love in the world doesn't fulfill a command that was told to be done when you didn't do it. And whichever side or point that we're making, you see, personally, we have allowed for what God does not allow for. And that's the point that I am trying to get us to take a look at. All right, and so as we come and think about these things, we have a new year in front of us. And I'm asking the question about what's this year going to be? 2020 wasn't the best one we've ever had, you know? And then I ask you why you say that, and it may have been a great year for us. We may have learned some things that we needed to learn. We may have learned who's in charge in a way that we've never known before. There's a lot of things that could be. Okay, but Jesus asked His accusers, what sin have I done that you might accuse me? And they don't have an answer for that. And before they answer, He says, then why, if I tell you the truth, do you not believe me? And He asked that question. How many of us have our home on earth, our ways as our guide, and that while we would never say it, we declare Jesus' example and His will to be too heavy to carry? I can't be that good. Oh? Now, I'm not denying the fact that we sin. I am making a point. I believe we live in a rich society and that all of us are rich. And because we're not rich in the way that the fabulously rich are, that we declare ourselves closer to poor, and yet we're not. That we do not depend on God because we depend on ourselves, and we justify it by where we put our emphasis scripturally. Jesus rarely told anyone that they were wrong. He told them to hear and see what the truth was and what the will of the Father was. And so then you will know them by their fruits. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Do we in your name cast out demons and in your name perform any miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I'm stabbed by this statement. That we go about and we do the things that God would have us do, but if we're not doing it because I have subjected myself to the will of the Lord, do we understand it is lawless? So, I want us to do something. I've made you feel guilty, I beat you up bad, and I know that I have, and I did it on purpose, okay? So you could take me to task on this a little later. But I beat you up for this reason. Let us today choose one point that needs to be changed in me. Me. Not looking at somebody else. Okay? And I want us to do that to change in me to be closer to God. I want to take one thing that I need to do and stop that and move a step closer to God. With the idea that this year, this point won't be a point next year. I want us to make that change sure. That's what I'm talking about. I won't shirk it, forget it, or allow something to get in the way of fulfilling this better way of doing the one thing that I need to do. Let the result be something for someone else, where it affects someone else as well. Okay, so that we put God first today in one way and for His glory. That I'm going to stop something and be something else. And so, I believe that it will have a positive effect on the negative thinking that our country has come into. Is to not be ruled by this world, but to be ruled by my God, you see. And so, that's what's happened. The thinking has hurt us. Our job, you see, isn't to change the world, but we can change my mind. And if I change my mind, it can have an effect on others, and that's the thing. And so, you see, is it time for that? I think that we have a resounding time for that. In front of us. That our country needs to see people who have taken a stand for what God says. And then if we combine that with always showing love, no matter the lesson that we're trying to teach, you see, then God can use that and He will use it far beyond what we ever thought it could be. That my one little action may not be a little action. In God's hands. And so, build your house upon the rock. Let's put the spiritual ahead of the physical and then serve Him. If you're not a Christian, first thing, be one. And if you're already a Christian and we can help you in any way, whether that be by prayer or any other kind of aid, if you'll just come and let us know as we stand and sing.